We have to board right away. They're waiting to blast off.
But today, we should be able to prove the case for or against the mushroom. The sacred mushroom. With quite a lot more accuracy.
Welcome to Nocturnal Admissions, the Las Vegas Weekly Nightlife Podcast. I'm Deanna Rilling, and on the phone I have Mark Farina. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Very good.
You're going to be in Las Vegas on November 3rd, playing at Eve Nightclub in support of Mushroom Jazz 7. So one thing I noticed, Mushroom Jazz 7 is going to be released November 9th. Cool thing you're doing is people can pre-order it, and there's all kinds of different packages they can choose from, which is definitely a big departure from your first Mushroom Jazz, which is on a cassette tape. So if you could tell me a little bit more about all these extra features and packages that you're offering.
Let's see, we got all kinds of different goodies going on. Mm-hmm. I'm autographing a bunch right now as we speak for the first people who have placed orders. I've been doing that today. A lot of extra music downloads, extra tracks that aren't available, video clips and things in making, and some audio samples that I've used on the making the CD, like that I've tracked down on old records, kind of all put together because some people like finding the little audio bits I add in. Mm-hmm. We have LRG making T-shirts, these limited edition shirts, which are going to be available as well, which LRG is kind of a bit more of a street clothing company, so we teamed up with them. Some bonus tracks from several of the artists that are unreleased and added, as well as at least one or two tracks of mine that are unreleased as well. And just trying to give incentives for people maybe to get the physical copy of it. And nothing against downloads, but just growing up into record albums as a kid and looking at sleeves and getting information. Mm-hmm. Wanted to try and make a little sort of a wealth of information for people who want to get extra stuff and like having sort of a collectible aspect. Mm-hmm. Added to their music collection.
Right. I remember that used to be like part of the excitement of buying a new album is that you checking out the artwork and flipping through it and seeing all the special stuff. So is that
yeah. I remember I would be sad, and a record would have just a white sleeve inside.
Right.
And have, like the lyrics and stuff. I'd be like, oh man. So yeah, I would read like every word start to finish on, the inside of every record. Mm-hmm. Cover that I had growing up, especially in the younger years. That's just how I would just love to see who's the producer, and then if lyrics, are on there, because I would always have a hard time deciphering lyrics. So
exactly.
It's always nice having the words there to go to, and just different pictures, and you could learn about the artist. So yeah, I tried to make a nice complete package that would tie along the lines of just some, like when you're actually getting an album and you're excited about it, hopefully people will feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned you're including like some of the bits and pieces that you've used, so I gotta say I've already gotten a chance to listen to Mushroom Jazz 7, and I love the audio samples talking about proving the case for or against mushrooms. So is that from anything in particular, because it's a recurring theme on the entire mix?
That I found, it was just an old movie I found the search for the sacred mushroom.
Nice.
And it was just like about like late 50s, early 60s, and just like kind of almost poorly made, but very comedic. And just, it was really funny. And they go in the jungle looking for this mushroom and stuff. So yeah, I just tried to find some from old movies, some are from some documentary clips, some are from just old records.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of went with a little mushroomy theme to sort of add some, background. Is, I've kind of always add weird little sound effects and stuff, but for this one, I tried to go with an all mushroom kind of concept.
Yeah. So let's talk about mushrooms, specifically mushroom jazz, the style you basically created and coined. Was that kind of a direct response to something like acid house or anything like that? How did it come about being called?
It was more related to acid jazz, the early 90s of sound.
Okay.
Which was, came from the UK. I'd say, labels like Talking Loud and groups like the Young Disciples, Galliano, then mixed with a lot of kind of early 90s hip hop, East Coast hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Type of stuff. So, and that style, like kind of mushroom jazz, I learned, you know, mixing in Chicago, and, you know, there'd be multiple rooms and clubs, and, you know, one room you'd play, like, your main room music, main room of a club is geared a certain way, and then there's always kind of a chill room. A couple of clubs opened, which was new at the time in the, you know, early 90s, to have, you know, a B room with couches. And so it kind of, as opposed to playing the main room music, it turned into that sort of style, and, yeah, I was liking a lot of that UK acid jazz and, you know, New York-y hip-hop stuff. And then also I was going to clubs in New York where they would have, like, a B-room of reggae and hip-hop and then the main room of B-house. So as opposed to, you know, sometimes you go to a club and it would be two rooms of the same music. And I always thought that was kind of pointless.
Cause, right.
You know, especially when one sound system is clearly better than the other room, or the room is maybe not conducive to same music as the other room. So, yeah, just playing it down-tempo style, and then came more dancey as I came to San Francisco in terms of people actually getting down to slower tempos. But yeah, it stemmed from that. Just mushroom jazz seemed more organic than acid jazz. It was kind of a little abrasive. I remember when I first heard the term, I was like, oh, what is that?
Now, your live sets are kind of versatile because you have played multiple rooms in the same club, even on the same night. So what do you think you'll bring to Eve here in Las Vegas? Is it going to be something more like the House of Ohm at like a higher BPM, or one of the Mushroom Jazz kind of albums, since it is a tour, which is a little bit slower?
I think it's going to be a combo of both the two. It's a weeknight as well. I know I can change different tempos and stuff. So, yeah, the last couple gigs I've played have been more on the housey basis in Vegas, you know, at the Palms,
right,
you know, by the pool, the last two. So I'll probably drop some different down-tempo-y stuff. A few picks up in number 7, and then there's also some more kind of down-tempo-y stuff that's more related to the party as well, that's, you know, funky and good for the party. So then I might try some EPMs in between it. Mushroom jazz is more around, you know, for people into beats per minute, like, you know, in that 100 beat per minute range, 98 beats per minute, whereas house is, you know, 125. So sometimes, you know, I like to go in between the tempos and start slow and go up to, or vice versa.
So for someone who has played Vegas, I think the last time I saw you, I think it might have been at Love Festival, like you mentioned, out by the pool, or I saw you at Electric Daisy a couple years ago too. But what do you think you can do out here in Vegas? Because it is kind of a unique market as far as what you can get away with playing.
Fine, you know, Vegas as well, like there's a lot of the clubs, there's, you know, along with the house techno scene that exists, there's a big hip-hop scene, of course, as well. So, you know, when you play some down-tempo stuff, you can get kind of a hip-hop sort of crowd maybe into it that's maybe not into house, you know, because sometimes it's not always just a straight house crowd in Vegas, I find, you know, like there are house things, but just because it's Vegas, there's quite a variety of people that are into all different genres, from, you know, techno to rock to, you know, reggae. So sometimes you can experiment with, you know, different tempos and genres, and, you know, just to not just exclude people and try and just get a party going and see what people are into. And, you know, I know guys like Z Trip and that, you know, this,
right,
and Jazzy Jeff, and, you know, their style is very welcomed as well in Vegas. So, you know, you don't always have to just be house, but also too, you know, when there is house things, you know, I like to do, you promote, you know, like a pure deep house thing, because I know sometimes Vegas there's so many genres. There's, you know, it seems like techno is a little bit bigger than, you know, deep house. So sometimes too, it's still good to try and promote a good, you know, good house stuff as well.
Do you still consider yourself a purist when it comes to that?
To house? I wouldn't say a purist. I mean, I just like Chicago house, which is kind of encompasses a lot of genres of people call, you know, of, you know, subgenres of house, whatever, it's minimal or electro. It all kind of stems from Chicago house, so it's just people call different genres, you know, different things. So I mean, I just prefer it, you know, personally, when I'm in a club, I prefer funkier stuff over, you know, I can take a little bit of minimal stuff, but once it gets a little too fast or too banging, it's not necessarily my style. But yeah, I just think a lot of, you know, me and my Chicago DJ mates, like DJ Heather, Derek Carter, DJ Sneak, you know, we all have like a certain, you know, style of Chicago house that's, would not call it pure. I don't know. I'm not like using the term purist. It seems too elitist.
As someone who is originally from, you know, the home house music in Chicago, how do you think you'd maybe define what people have come to identify as house music in 2010?
Like I was saying, Chicago house to me was always a variety of what people call all these terms for, back when it started, it was a little bit of everything. It would be a disco sample song with, looping, and then it would be like a minimal drum click track, and then it would be an acid track, and then it would be like a full vocal, house song into, a bootleg remix of, a non-house song. Mm-hmm. Thrown in. So it was always kind of a variety of things, and as years go by, newer generation calls things different terms, but I would still say Midwest house, which includes Chicago, Detroit, and even that Wisconsin, Minneapolis area, that just that style of Jack and Chicago house is, a lot of other genres seem to come back around to that style, and it's where it just called different things at different times, but mm-hmm. good housey stuff is still has its own niche.
Mm-hmm. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you haven't done a full-length artist album yet, have you?
I had one, Air Farina,
okay.
Back on Home.
Oh, okay.
I'm possibly going to do a second, but it's in the works.
In the works? Any
yep,
ETA?
Next year? Next year, possibly, yeah.
Next year-ish. And I noticed on a lot of message boards, too, a lot of people say that, you're really super nice. So why do you think some of the DJs in the industry are kind of dicks nowadays?
I don't know. It's a good question. I'm sure the same holds true for rock bands. It's probably, it's a musician-artist thing, performing musicians through the years. Some I'm sure are nice and some might be more rude. I don't know. I always choose to try and be cordial and, just... like you're meeting, a new person, someone's friend, a friend of a friend. So, mm-hmm. Always be polite. And as well, I think, for me, if I ever meet, an artist I'm into, if they're nice and, they talk to me, I get really excited. I met Louis Vega back,
Nice.
I was playing at New York, I forget, at the Roxy, it was a roller rink, and, I had known, of course, I knew who Louis was and, met him and, and turned out to be really nice and just how excited I was that he was cool and took some time. So, I figure, it's nice when you can just sit and chat with somebody. And mm-hmm. You have a minute, take a picture. It's all good.
And then for you, what do you think's maybe the best thing to happen to DJing and house music this year?
This year, geez, that's a good question.
Any standout moments for you, whether productions or a good party?
Well, this year I think for me that's going to be the release of Mushroom Jazz 7. Hopefully it's going to be the big thing. I'm still just lucky to, excited to be busy and playing a lot of shows. And my house label, Great Lakes Audio, is up and running and we're got good regular slated releases going, so that was kind of my goal this year. That was to get that. It was a vinyl label, and now I've got it running digitally, so I've been excited mm-hmm. about that. And just trying to still branch out and hit some different geographical regions. But in terms of electronic music, it seems. I don't know what the defining moment would be. Mm-hmm. I played with Derek Carter and DJ Heather at Fabric in London last month, and
cool.
That was great to be with them, but definitely just fortunate to have a lot of good shows, so it's hard to pick one that stands out.
Mm-hmm. How about maybe the worst thing that happened in house music this year? Production techniques people are doing that are driving me crazy, or auto-tune driving you up the wall, or anything like that?
No, I don't know. Sometimes I find I live in a bubble of what I listen to, so I don't hear a lot of different stuff.
That's okay.
that I don't like. So I tend to be, hear the DJs I like and whatnot. So I don't get concerned with any poor production. I don't really like the state of modern hip hop and stuff. But
yeah.
House-wise, though, I'm finding a lot of regions have come around back into house. Even internationally, just different places getting more into Jackie House. So. Mm-hmm. Excited that it's still a staple in people's clubbing, and nothing too production wise. I'm not big on vocoder vocals though, but that's always been long before this year.
Yeah, so, everywhere now. Anything else we should look for besides Mushroom Jazz 7? I know you've got an iPhone app now. What else is going on?
Let's see, like I mentioned, Great Lakes Audio, the house label I have. We have a new EP by Vernon and DaCosta from Belgium that's out right now. And then coming up is Derek Dunbar from Southern California is a release after that. Great new deep house producer. Making the rounds lately. A lot of good tracks coming out by Mr. Dunbar, so I'm excited to have his release. And then Mushroom Jazz Recordings is starting in January, a down tempo label that I'm starting.
Nice.
After, you know, Mushroom Jazz comes out, a lot of I'm doing EPs by various people off Mushroom Jazz 7, and it's coming out on my own label, kind of similar to like a Giant Step or a, let me think what else. You know, just kind of the older acid jazz label. It's going to be a purely down tempo label. So excited about that.
Cool. Well, again, you're going to be in Las Vegas at Eve on November 3rd, Mushroom Jazz 7. It's out on November 9th, and people should definitely check it out. I've had a chance to listen through it a few times, so it's a real cool kind of chill vibe to it. I really liked it. It's a nice departure from some of like the banging mixes that I've had to listen to lately, so I really enjoyed it. So good luck with everything.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, and take care, and have a great gig out here in Vegas.
Thanks. Hope to see you.
Okay, bye. For up-to-date Las Vegas nightlife and dance music scene news, always be sure to check out LasVegasWeekly.com.